Evening, church. Good to be back after a few weeks of holidays. You all well? Good, good. Welcome. Hey, let's pray and then we'll look at this passage together. Father, thank you for your wisdom and your word. And as we look at a unique part of the Bible today, we pray that you be our teacher. Help us to have hearts ready to hear. And ears ready to listen, lives ready to respond in faith and action. Help me as I speak and those that I speak to. In Jesus' name, amen. So back in the old days, well, at least my old days, when it came to telephones, the telephone was kept in a certain room in the house. And if it rang, you had to go to that room and pick up the receiver. And then there was a cord, and that was connected to your ear. And so depending where you were on your property when the phone rang, if you were outside, you'd hear the ring, you'd have to run in and try and answer it before it stopped ringing. Now, things have changed, because the next thing that happened to telephones is that we got the answering machine. And that was great, because we could screen our calls. And more importantly, when we were out, people could ring us and leave a message, and you'd walk into your home, and the first place you'd go was to the answering machine, and you could tell how many messages you had by how many times the light beeped. This is like education to your generation, yeah? So you'd walk in, go beep, 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 three messages, and you would listen to them and hear who'd called you, and you can call them back. Of course, now we all have a mobile phone in our pocket. We've all got our own phone number. We carry it wherever we go. People can call us at any time. But I've discovered there's three different types of mobile phone people. There's the people who, for some of them, lived in the generation where they had the out loud phone in their house, and they keep their phone like that, on loud, out loud, all the time. And so they're the people that when you're at a funeral or a wedding or at the movies, that message about turn your phone to silent now is for you. Not all those people know how to do that. And even at the wedding I was at this morning, someone's phone went off. And so they hear the phone call, and no matter where they are, they answer it. Because the phone rings, it must be answered. Then there's the next type of person who puts their phone on vibrate. They want to know when they're getting a call. It's in their pocket or beside them. And they might not be able to answer the phone because they might be preaching. This is the way I do things. So I won't answer while I'm preaching, okay? But I know that someone's called. I'll check. And if I want to talk to you, I'll ring you back. Then there's the third group of people who may as well not have a phone, yeah? They've got a mobile and a number and an answering thing, but it doesn't matter when you ring them, they never answer it and they never ring you back. And you all know people in all three of these categories, yeah? And people in my family belong to each of these as well. Today we're looking at Proverbs 1, 20 to 33. And in the passage we see that someone is calling us. Someone is calling us. Day in, day out, they're calling. And they're wanting us to hear the call and to listen, to respond to the call. It's actually a lady who's calling, and her name is Lady Wisdom. And she's calling all people, and she wants us to hear her call. And so we're in the book of Proverbs, which is wisdom literature. And Jordan last week helpfully told us that wisdom is living God's way in God's world. God's way in God's world. And the Bible wants us to be wise, to be full of wisdom, to know how to live in the world that God's placed us, how to make decisions particularly, and how to live each day. And the book of Proverbs is a book not written in the university, but more in the marketplace. It's common wisdom. You don't have to be a learned person to gain this wisdom. You just have to listen and gain. It'll tell you about how to use your money, how to work well, how to be a good child or a parent or a marriage, how to treat your neighbor, how to make business deals, and things like that. In terms of this book, it does have a bit of structure to it. It's got an introduction, which is the first seven verses, and Jordan preached on them last week. And the very key line to the whole book is in the introduction, chapter 1, verse 7, that says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, for fools despise wisdom and instruction." Now, the first nine chapters are like a speech to a son, to a male son, probably a teenage male son, from two people. One is a father, and one is Lady Wisdom. So there's this whole series about 10 different speeches to this male person. In fact, the whole book of Proverbs is written to a young male. Then from chapter 10 to 29 is what you know of the Proverbs. Short, pithy statements, many, many of them wise sayings of how to live in this world. And then chapter 30 and 31 is kind of like the conclusion, which has the apex of the wife of noble character, which finishes off the book. So here we are, we're in chapter 1, and for the very first time we're hearing of a speech to the young male from Lady Wisdom. So that's where we are. And it's interesting, despite the fact this was written thousands of years ago, it could be written right now for you and I, as this message comes to us. So I want to show you in this passage that wisdom is calling us. I want to show you from this passage what happens if we don't take the call, if we don't listen to wisdom, and what happens if we do listen to wisdom and become wise. So let's become wise together as we look at this passage. So we start off by talking about phone calls, but Lady Wisdom is calling us, calling right now. What does she want to say to us? Because she's urging us to listen. Let's look at the first few verses, 20 to 23. It says, "Out in the open, wisdom calls aloud. She raises her voice in the public square. On the top of the walls, she cries out. At the city gate, she makes her speech. How long will you who are simple love your simple ways? How long will mockers delight in mockery and fools hate knowledge? Repent at my rebuke, then I will pour out my thoughts to you. I will make known to you my teaching." So those first two verses introduce us to Lady Wisdom. She's a bit like an evangelist. She's out in the city. In fact, she's everywhere around the city. She's out in the open, like in the paddocks around the city. She's in the city square, like the marketplace. She's on the walls. And she's at the gate. So no matter where you are, she's calling. Whether you're there for a meal, where for the market, there for official business, she's calling out to you. But you know when you go into Hay Street, when you go to Perth, and you see a evangelist standing there, a street preacher, no one's actually there to listen to them, are they? It might be interesting what they're saying as they tell you to repent and put your faith in Jesus, but the reason people are in the city is because they want to get food, meeting up with someone, they work there, so they're busy going to work or home, they're catching the train, or they've got official business. But yet, that evangelist is still preaching, they're still talking as everyone goes about their busy work. And Lady Wisdom's like that. No one's there to listen to her, but yet she's calling out all the time to a preoccupied crowd, if you like. Now, it's worth making the note now that Lady Wisdom speaks to all. So if you made a mental note that the book of Proverbs is to young males and you thought, that's okay, I won't come to church the rest of this year because I'm not a young male, well, this book from Lady Wisdom is to all. Indiscriminate, her voice goes out in the city to young and old, to male and female, that all who hear her call would listen and respond to her. Well, what is she saying? What's the call? What's she yelling out in the background as everyone goes about their life? Well, verse 22, she starts her speech. How long, she says, how long? And who she's speaking to? Well, it seems that she's addressing three groups of people. The simple, the mocker, and the fool. And she's saying to them, how long before you listen to me? How long before you become wise? Repent, stop where you are, and become wise. So these three groups of people, the simple is kind of the naive, gullible person who's easily led away by any voice, the simple. The mocker is hard of heart. Even though they hear wisdom, they mock it, they ridicule it, and they may mock and ridicule the person who speaks it as well. The fool, well, they're just more a generic title for somebody who hates knowledge, who hates wisdom, who doesn't want to be corrected, who doesn't want to be put on the right path. They're happy with things as they are. How long, simple, will you love your simple ways? How long, mocker, will you mock wisdom? How long, fool, will you hate wisdom? And the voice goes out. And it goes out to us as well. Are we listening? Because God wants us to be wise. He wants us to respond to this voice that maybe we didn't know was there. And says, repent, turn around, stop being a fool, and listen to my voice. Well, let's keep going to see where the passage goes before we seek to apply. As all these busy people have this voice in the background from Lady's Wisdom. What are they going to do with it? Well, Lady Wisdom in her speech actually presses fast forward. She shows what will happen to the person who doesn't listen. She kind of pitches a picture forward for those who don't stop, who don't repent, who don't turn and listen to her voice. And it's worth noting that it's disastrous for those who don't listen. So let's look at 24 to 31. But since you refuse to listen when I call, and no one pays attention when I stretch out my hand, since you disregard all my advice and don't accept my rebuke, I in turn will laugh when disaster strikes you. I will mock when calamity overtakes you. When calamity overtakes you like a storm, when disaster sweeps over you like a whirlwind, when distress and trouble overwhelm you, then they will call out to me, but I will not answer. They will look for me, but they will not find me. Since they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord, since they would not accept my advice and spurn my rebuke, they will eat the fruit of their ways and be filled with the fruit of their schemes. Well, it's quite motivating, isn't it? It's quite motivating to stop and listen to this message because certain disaster waits for the person who doesn't. It's motivating to listen to what she has to say, to take her advice, to not be the simple, to not be the mocker, and to not be the fool. Disaster, distress, trouble will come their way. And it says that that wisdom will mock the fool, that the wisdom will laugh at the one who laughed at wisdom when that disaster comes. And Lady Wisdom imagines a day where everything's gone wrong, troubles come to their lives, and then they will call out. And she says, you won't find me then. You won't find me then. You know when you get a message on your phone app for your weather and it says, severe wind warning. And usually when you open your app, it's got it up on big bold at the top so you can't miss it. And you're meant to read that bit, yeah? That's important. Because it says gale force winds or whatever, danger, great danger to livelihood. And so when you hear that message of warning, you've got two options. You either think, she'll be right, mate, and you do nothing. Or you go outside and you clean up your yard and you nail things down and you fix things up because you see that bad things are happening. But at 2 a.m., when your trampoline is on your neighbour's roof and your wheelie bin's in the next suburb and the kids' toys have all been wrecked, it's too late to listen then. And that's what Lady Wisdom's doing. She's giving a warning now. Listen now before it's too late. Turn and listen. Well, what happens for the person who does listen? What happens to them? In fact, the last two verses of the chapter, or the last two verses of her speech, kind of give a conclusion to the matter. You know, if you don't listen, this will be happening. If you do listen, this is what will happen. So 32 and 33. They say, for the waywardness of the simple will kill them, and the complacency of the fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm. Now, it's worth making the point again, and we'll make this point a few times in the series, that the book of Proverbs is not so much promises, more about probabilities. If you live the wise life, most likely this is what will happen. But they're not guarantees, they're not promises. So if you looked at Proverbs 22:6, that says, "Start children off on the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it." You've got a great line of wisdom there. Parents, teach your kids well. Discipline them, model to them values of life. And then in all probability, they will go on with it. But it's not a guarantee. And we all know people where they were taught well and modeled well and they didn't go on with it. Teach your children terribly, model to them a bad life, and that will probably be what they sow in their adulthood. But occasionally, someone will turn out well. They're not promises, but they're probabilities. That's the way wisdom works. Generally, this is the way that happens. So we read the summary of Lady Wisdom's speech. We see, for the fool, generally destruction will come their way. If you live a foolish life now, if you disregard wisdom, generally things will go bad for you. And generally, if you live a wise life, if you live God's way in God's world, make godly decisions, then things will work out better for you. That's just the way things are. If you want to know if that's true or not, then go to your 10-year school reunion. Because you'll notice the people who lived wise lives and those who didn't. You can already see the trajectory probably while you're at school with them. And fast forward that 10, 20 years and see the destruction that comes to some people's lives. And for those who live godly, wise lives, things seem to go better. Well, we've heard this speech from Lady Wisdom in the marketplace, wherever we are going, in the busyness of life. How do we bring this home to us? What does this actually mean for us about how we live our lives? Surely, though, with nothing else, we've heard the urgency of the call. Now is the time to respond to the message. Don't leave it to later. This is not a when I've got time thing. This is a top of the list thing. This is a now and urgent thing to listen to Lady Wisdom. Now, I think for most of us, though, talking about this type of stuff and talking about wisdom and a call from the walls from a lady called Wisdom we didn't know exist is all a bit too abstract for us. What do we actually do with this? How do we actually become wise? How do we actually make godly decisions in our life? How do we actually live? Of course, that's what the book of Proverbs is committed to. So if you want to know what Lady Wisdom has to say to you, if you want to know how to become wise, there's a whole book of the Bible committed to that very course. And so I say to you, read it. Read the book of Proverbs. We actually can't cover the whole 31 chapters together. There's literally thousands of pieces of wisdom in here. And while we're digging into Proverbs this term, maybe it's a good book just to have open. Read a couple of them as you're having dinner together. Toss them over. You'll know, though, that if you read a whole chapter at once, you'll gain nothing. Gain wisdom by reading just one or two and discussing that wisdom that comes from that. But I think the crux of the message of Lady Wisdom is the crux of the book. It's the crux of the motto that I already said was in Proverbs 1:7. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That is the central line that this whole book rests on. If you want to become wise, if you want to know how to live right in this world, then fear the Lord. Have a right relationship with Him. Build your whole life on that fact, a right relationship with your Maker. Now, when I was a kid, I had a great set of wooden blocks, and I used to see if I could make great and tall towers so I could knock them over. But if you've built blocks, you'll know that the key to a tall block building is having a good base layer. If you get that good base layer right, then you can build on that. The key to having a wise life and living right in God's life is building your life on the fear of the Lord. Build your life on having a relationship with your Maker. And so the question comes to us, how is that going for us? What is your relationship with your God like? Do you fear him? Do you find him to be awesome and magnificent and wonderful and gracious and kind? Is he the rock that you've built your life on, the one that you trust for every breath, every heartbeat, every trouble, every decision that comes your way? You see, the wisest thing you can do is to have a relationship with God through Jesus. And so when we ask ourselves the question, am I wise? Then the first question you must ask is, how am I going in my relationship with God? How am I walking with him each day? Because you can actually take all the Proverbs from the book of Proverbs and you can try and make them work in your life practically, how you look after your kids, your neighbour, your money. But unless you build it on Jesus and your relationship with God, then nothing will stand. It's where it all starts. Now, the fact is, we're all busy people. We're all rushing around with our work, our hobbies, the kids, the sport, the to-do list, there's shopping, there's bills, there's gardening, there's lots of things to be done. But in the background, there's a voice, the voice of Lady Wisdom, the voice of God actually saying, will you love me? Will you put me first? Will you treat me as the most important thing in your life and build your whole life on me? And the question for us is, what kind of heart is that message coming to? Because so often I can think of in my life where my heart was the heart of a fool, the simple one who thought, you know, naively, I can just get on with living for myself now and I'll deal with God later. You know, that's for old people who are nearly dead. I'll live for me now and I'll deal with God later. Or the mocker who says, you know what, God, you can have nothing to do with my life. I'm just going to do my way. I'll be me. You do whatever you do. I'll mock you, not interest. Or the fool who thinks that living a life pursuing pleasure, money, gain, experiences with where things are at until it all comes undone. So the question is, what kind of heart do we have? Are we listening to the call to be wise, to respond rightly to God? What is interesting is that when God's son, the Lord Jesus, came to earth, at the age of 30, he started walking around, even in the marketplace, and speaking. And what was his message? Repent. Repent. Turn around. Stop living the way you're living for yourself and put God at the center. Follow me, he said. Pick up your cross, follow me. Make your whole life about following me. In fact, if you give up your life, he said, then I will give you life to the full. The wisest thing that anyone could do is respond rightly to Jesus who died for them. So what do you need to do with this message? What do you need to hear today? There might actually be someone here who's never heard this message or never believed, never built their life on faith in Jesus and a right relationship with God. And maybe today is the day for you to do that. But I think for most of us who've already done that, we just kind of get busy rushing around doing life. There's so much to do. But a relationship with Jesus sits at the very heart, the very foundation of all. The wisest way to spend our life is to have a right relationship with God. So hear God calling you back. Come back. Be central in my life, Lord Jesus. And you can pray that today. Now, I'm an optimist. If you know me, I'm extremely optimistic about things. But I'm not that optimistic about our land that we live in. Because if you think about Australia, and you think about this message, if the way of being wise is to fear the Lord, we can see just over the last decades the unfolding of that. The unfolding of people responding rightly to their Creator, to the Lord. And that seems to mean, based on this proverb, that calamity, disaster, and trouble is coming the way of our nation. And we can already see that happen. So how do we live wise lives in a nation that's rejecting Lady Wisdom's call? Well, I want to put it to you that the best thing we can do for Australia, the best thing you can do for your neighbour, the people in your workplace, is to live a wise life, is to actually fear the Lord, is actually to have Jesus front and central in your life. Because they need an alternative from the foolish life that they see on the TV and on the news and everywhere else they look. They don't need us Christians to be wishy-washy, kind of blending in with the crowd, not really standing out. They need an alternative from the way of the fool. And the way of the wise is to fear and love the Lord. And they need to see us doing that. Now, some of them will hate us for that. They will reject it. The light that we give will shine in their darkness and they will hate it. It will expose them. But for others, they will hear and they will see a way that's alternate from what they live, and they'll ask us, why do you live like that? Why do you make the decisions you do? And we'll have the opportunity to tell them about Jesus who died in our place for our sins. So the call of Lady Wisdom has gone out. In our busyness, she calls. Are we listening? How will we respond? I'm going to give you some time now to pray, particularly about the wisest thing you can do and put God front and central in your life. So spend some time in prayer now. Father, as a people, we think we're so clever. We think we're so wise. We've invented incredible technologies. We can do things just by pushing a button. We can have whatever we want, whenever we want it. And yet, the ancient wisdom, if you like, of your word, that's found first in a right relationship with you. It's so easy for us to lose that in the midst of our hustle and bustle and busyness and to become a fool. Lord, help us to respond rightly to you. Give us the strength to live for you each day. And may others see that life and cause them to wonder, what is it about us that makes us live like that? Lord, so be our strength, be our help, and forgive us our sin, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.